I'm Logan.
I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People.
It's automatic. It's automatic. It's automatic.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Automatic for the People, a Mr. Robot podcast. We're doing our Mr. Robot rewatch, and we're on season two, episode two or three. Depends on how you look at it. Colonel Panic. So, which I've been rewatching How I Met Your Mother. Have you ever watched that?
The show?
Yeah. Okay. So there's this thing that Robin and Ted do every time somebody says something that sounds like a military title, like general knowledge, they salute and say general knowledge. So, like, I tweeted about this episode, and every time I hashtag Colonel Panic, in the back of my mind, it was like I wanted to salute and go, Colonel Panic? So, anyway, that's just a little aside, because I've been rewatching that show, and the first few seasons of that show are really solid, but, like, once the baby comes, it's kind of not fun or really that interesting. Like the last two seasons, they just ran out of stuff.
My whole viewing of the show has been through syndication, so I've not seen, you know, any specific order of episodes. So I can tell you there are some really, really good episodes, and then some just ones where I'm like, it just seems like an old idea that's been played out, which at this point, I mean, what hasn't?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, all that's beside the point.
That's a fresh idea.
So yeah, let's we can talk about Mr. Robot, or we can talk about, well, I guess we should talk about Mr. Robot first. So off the air, you told me in a conversation that you think this is your favorite episode of Mr. Robot.
It's got so many layers to it that it's a really complex episode, and knowing the future makes it even that much more of a complex episode.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as high on it as you. I do think it's a really solid episode. I went to a friend's birthday dinner this past weekend, and we were talking about television shows, me and a couple of other friends, and you might remember him, this guy, Tony, who went to school with us. He has a podcast, Geek Versus Week. We were talking about podcasting stuff and how sometimes it's the greatest thing in the world, and it's like, I can't wait to podcast. But then there are times where, like, you think about it, and it's daunting. It's like, why am I doing this? I get, other than talking about things I love, like, I get nothing out of it. You know, it's a lot of work for almost no return other than the joy of just getting to talk about the things you love. Anyway, all that's beside the point. And he asked me, were we still doing our podcast? And I said, yeah. He said, y'all just talk about Mr. Robot? I said, well, we're doing the rewatch right now, building up to the final season. I said, but we talk about Preacher and Legion and American Gods, which was terrible, but season two looks promising, but you know, season one did too. He's like, so you're still really into Mr. Robot? I said, it's the best show on television. Like, it will probably be the best show of this century so far, like when it ends. Like, that probably sounds like a lot of hyperbole, but I think it's that good. And he was like, Yeah, but like season two, I'm like, what is wrong with season two? He was like, I couldn't get through it. And everything I read, like, it just didn't make anybody happy. Like, I don't get that. Like, the people who don't like season two, it has to be because, like, The Last Jedi, it's because it's not the story you wanted Sam Esmail to tell. You wanted him to continue the story of Elliot and how tragic a character he is. But that's not the story he was telling. It's just not.
I mean, that generally happens to everything, but especially in, a franchise type situation, is when you have these big gaps, you know, people's minds start coming up with stuff. And then, of course, now there's the internet to contend with all these people and their rumors about what's going to happen. And generally that's what happens with my specifically disappointment, is something gets overhyped, or I'm overhyping it myself. Or if I see something that most people are just like, I was okay, I didn't know anything about, I'm like, man, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah, that's, it's funny, a whole different conversation about not even television, but I was talking to someone today, and this guy told me, he's like, we're talking about being upset about things. He was like, do you know why people get upset? Like, when it boils down to it, do you know why really they get upset? I said, tell me. He said, expectations. You don't get upset at anything other than, like, this was your expectation, now this is the reality, and it's, they don't meet up, and now you're pissed.
That's funny. I had a thought today, and it was a really stupid and really bad, just because it can come off very much the wrong way. But when I think about being an adult when I was growing up, I wanted, like, the Andy Griffith Show or Leave It to Beaver. And, well, when I grew up, all I got was, like, Roseanne and Married with Children.
Yeah.
You know, so it's expectations. So I was thinking about that today. It's like, I guess my expectations were too high.
You wanted your, like, you, we grew up watching this stuff, and you're like, I'm going to grow up and my life's going to be like a sitcom. But it is. It's just not the sitcom.
Not the sitcom I was, to be. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think this episode of Mr. Robot is absolutely fantastic. Just in the way it threads all these needles that are kind of,
yeah, that's kind of like what I was talking about, like the complexity of the episode. And there's so much, and it's not really set up, but it's, there's needle threading's pretty good. I mean, it's, or even like, what did our mom used to do? With the cross stitching. It's a lot of cross stitching in this episode.
Yeah. It's not the cross stitching, like, to finish the picture. It's like all of that stuff she would have to do, like, to lay out things. When you look at it, you might go, I can see what it might become, and that might be perfect. But also, like, there are things, for me at least, I look at and go, yeah, this could go sideways. Like, even rewatching it now, there's a lot of things that not bother me, because that's not the right way to phrase it, but that don't really fit. And it's been so long since I've watched it, I'm waiting to see if or how they will fit. You know, I know a lot of the stuff with Elliot, we can't take it face value because he's unreliable. Well, so,
that's one of the greatest things in this episode, is that you get a very, you know, hefty reminder that he's very unreliable. Which is another in your face, like, he's not really at his mom's house, guys.
Well, I mean, as evidenced by, like, he, in the first two episodes or first episode, like it's referenced pretty consistently that he's there. This episode, there's almost nothing that tells you he's at his mom's house.
He looks at her watching the TV when he learns about what's his name getting shot.
Right.
Gideon. And that's the only time you see it, which got me thinking even more about his therapist. We don't see her again, do we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do eventually.
I was wondering if we saw her again in this season specifically, and wondering if that was just leftover footage that was used in this season. That was just a technical.
Yeah.
I was wondering about.
I mean, I don't know, because I'd have to.
Yeah, I didn't do research on it either. I was like, it's not really that important to dig that deep into.
Yeah, I would really have to dig in. So I was finding my tweets. Okay, so I tweeted, like I've been doing live tweeting as I watched the episode. I had some technical difficulties when I started, so it wound up being in two parts, but whatever.
His router has narcolepsy.
Not anymore. Now it's permanently asleep in a box in my closet. So I have a brand new dual band router. So hopefully no bad tech issues going forward. But yeah, so it opens on Romero and Mobley introducing the fun house.
You know, I've watched it twice, and both times by the end of the episode, I completely forgot about the beginning of the episode.
Oh, it worked so perfect, man.
Is that story not like the best?
Yeah.
Because even if Terrell's still alive at this point, we think he's gone crazy. And this is a story about a place that makes people go crazy.
Yeah. And it ends with Dom finding the base or the fun house or whatever you want to call it. So it opens on like where this place comes from and the history. And it ends with like this new person discovering it, you know. It's such a perfect bookend for the episode, you know. And I actually put up a theory in my tweets, which I don't have any faith in at all. But I said, what if time travel is part of all of this? And Elliot then has to go back or inadvertently goes back in time and causes all of these things to happen.
Okay, I had that same thought when I rewatched it today. I think I watched it Sunday. I didn't think about that, but today I did. But that's because this morning I found Donnie Darko on TV and I sat here and watched it. And then when Romero starts telling that story, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's very insane. Yeah. So, like I said, that's a wild, harebrained, like, I don't in a million years think any of that's really going to take place, but, you know, it would be kind of funny. And Romero telling Mobley, like, well, money's the deciding factor. I'm like, well, he does not know how right he is, you know, like, not just for him, like, it's the deciding factor in all of this.
The most upsetting thing is that we never get to hear the story about the U and the N.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. That is one of those things where it's like, oh man, we know what's about to happen, especially if you've watched it twice, and we're probably never going to get that story. But I don't know. There's always they've this was a flashback. So it also reminded me of another show we love, Firefly, which does that. My favorite, maybe the best episode of television ever, where it does the flashbacks of how all of these people kind of came together to be on this ship to create this makeshift family. And, you know, it ends with them finding the ship, you know, but it does have that kind of feel to it. It also reminds me of an episode of Seinfeld that we'll talk about a little bit later. Although this is not told, this is told in chronological order, not non-chronological order. But yeah, so two characters die in this episode, and I couldn't possibly feel worse for either one of them. I mean, Romero was not a fun guy. Yeah, he was kind of crotchety.
No, but he was like the Obi-Wan of the group. I mean, he was like the old guy. He was the granddad or whatever. You know, he was the smart one.
And he's the...
the street smart one.
Yeah, and he dies. Now, this is going to be horrible because... yeah, we do a Mr. Robot podcast, but when we get to Mobley discovering his body, maybe we have gotten the answer, and I'm just so focused on what happens in season three, I don't remember. But who killed him?
Yeah, I definitely know at this point we were kind of supposed to think, oh, is that what Elliot did with the gun?
Right.
So, but no, I don't know if we ever get that true answer of who really killed Mobley.
No, Romero. We know who killed Mobley. Spoiler alert for season three. Poor Trenton and Mobley. And that was enough. Seeing both of them again, like when they're talking to Darlene, and... he's like, look, I'm going to Arizona to be...
I don't trust him or her crazy ass brother. Oh, that was hilarious.
I mean, it's not a no good deed thing, because it's not like they were actually doing good deeds, but they kind of had good intentions, and they all did, and... not only did they bring about, like, they made Evil Corp more Evil Corp, but they also wind up getting killed in the process. You know, nothing about their intentions worked out in any way, shape, or form. Like I said, expectation. Like, it did not lead them to a good place.
Yeah, expectation and reality.
Romero and like Mobley coming to the place, meeting his mom, who's a really interesting character who we maybe didn't get enough of. Like, I like her kind of little talks with Mobley, where she's like, you know, the companies are all in bed together, you know, like, yeah, she's kind of on point there. And then Dom coming back later, her conversations with her. I like the fact that they didn't make her this overly dramatic character about what had happened. And not that, you know, she wouldn't be, but like, you get the sense of like she grew up in all of this. And while she is definitely heartbroken about her son, she also realizes it's the reality of not just their situation, but kind of the things that he was into. And not that he deserved it. He definitely didn't. But she has this kind of resolve about it, you know?
Yeah, she's just kind of like, whatever.
You know,
she's just waiting to die.
What was I gonna? Oh, Elliot getting abducted in prison.
But, yeah, that was my thing about, like, that's another reminder that you can't trust what Elliot is showing you. Because none of those things are true. He's not even really in his mom's house, and he wasn't even really getting kidnapped.
Right. I mean, he was probably getting drug off into a room or something, but it's not like, I think I where's my, so if he's in prison, is that really an abduction? Like, can you abduct somebody from a prison, but into a different prison? I mean, it's so weird. And then Ray, holy hell. Like, what a complex character. Like, it gets easier as the season goes to really hate the guy, especially when you find out what he's doing. But he just makes it really difficult to not like him. Even when he's doing things that you're like, yeah, this guy's no good. But he's so charismatic, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's just proof positive, more proof positive that as long, it's not, you know, what you say, it's how you say it. I mean, if people can believe what he's telling them, they're going to follow him and he won't have anything to worry about.
But yeah, the abduction, to go back to that, is all in his head. You know, the death by concrete thing. I tweeted, like, where did Sam Esmail get the idea for death by concrete? Like, I would have nightmares about that, man.
Yeah, I kind of had to look away on that scene this last time. Like, I can't watch this again.
Yeah.
Him doing that or throwing up the pills and eating them again. Like, oh, God.
Oh, and then we get a little bit of Angela in this episode.
What we did get was great.
Oh, it is.
And probably the line of the episode in her biggest scene.
Which one?
With a properly placed bullet, you can change the world pretty much.
Yeah. A man can change the whole world with a bullet in the right place. So you're right. It is the line of the episode. And like, she's so morally complex at this point, and still is, that, like, you'll want to be with her, but you're just like, why are you doing this? You know, like, you started out with one purpose, and it just, so, this, when she goes to dinner later with Price, like, this is what I tweeted. Angela thought the dinner was something it wasn't. A metaphor for her life, her career, her family, her relationships, and this whole entire show. I mean, there's so much other stuff going on there that she doesn't even know. Even when Price reveals to her, like, that he was trying to show her that, like, you think these people are evil and you're not wrong, but they're also people too that have families, that love and care about people, and you're wanting to take their freedom away, and you're not wrong to do so, but realize that they are people too who made horrible choices.
Yeah, he says the other line of the episode, ordinary people are capable of extraordinary things.
I mean, it's just, it's so spot on. And, like, none of it is what she thinks it is. And the farther down, she's Alice, man. The farther down the rabbit hole she goes, like, no wonder she goes nuts.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you just can't, the further you go, the further you got to climb back up. And that climb back up's not so easy.
Yeah. So the FBI gets called in. for the murder of Romero because Romero has a list of FBI names on which is Dominic DePiro's name.
This is probably the best, especially funny.
Oh, I love when he's like, I've got gloves on. She's like, that doesn't matter when you're sneezing into them. You know, and she's like, you should really tell your doctor to get you a Z-Pack. It's irresponsible for you to be infecting your entire team. And the whole thing about the computer, that I knew it was coming, and it's still, like, I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's so perfect. But yeah, I love Dom, man. Like, watching her get reintroduced over the last two episodes has been, like, it's like falling in love with her all over
again. Yeah. You got to think when the FBI come into, especially small town crimes, when they have to get involved, they think or they feel exactly how she felt in that moment right there.
Yeah.
Did you check the ports to see if they've been modified? And it's just like, well, you know, there goes that.
And she doesn't even get mad. She's just like, of course, morons. And I tweeted this, and I y'all can read into it what you want. And if you watch the episode, you'll know what scene I'm talking about. But I just said, I feel your frustration, Dom. And also, her talking to Alexa is my whole entire life.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. You know, mine turns on every time she says it.
Yeah. Mine is sitting literally right underneath the TV. So, and I was watching.
I didn't know you got one.
Yeah. I've had it. I don't really use it for anything. I might say, you know, hey, Alexa, play this or that. But, like,
that's what I use it for.
So, but yeah, it's just such a, it's such a good second introduction to her character because we see her in the first episode buying stuff for at that convenience store, and she seems, it's like, who the hell is this person? But you know, then when she comes back in it in this episode, it's so like, no, this is who she really is. You know, this frustrated FBI woman who's, you know, probably a little too smart for really her own good, because she's the smartest person in the room. So therefore, she's smarter than the people she works for and with. So she gets like,
she just doing the mundane thing, like just day to day.
Right.
Because she's extraordinary and she's surrounded by all these people, I'm sure, that won't let her do any more than
right.
Than she's what her job title.
Yeah. She's too smart to go any further at her job because the people above her recognize that she's smarter than they are. So, like, that's how you keep people down. Like, oh, crap. You know, like, we can't promote this person because, you know, then she's going to make me look even dumber. You know, you can't take credit for their work if they're your equal. As long as they're your subordinate, you can take credit for their work because it's part of your work. So, yeah, it's going to be fun rewatching her experience over the next two seasons. Like, that's the thing I'm most excited about. Like, just focusing on her, how she comes through all of this. So, what else was there? Oh, talking more about Ray. Like, when we go to, when we see him talking to that dude, and it's the slow reveal of basically that he's threatening his life and the life of his family. But it's really, like, you still want to like the guy, you know?
I'm listening, sorry.
Yeah, I know. You're having a whole other conversation.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, people don't listen.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Ray, I think I tweeted, now I've lost it. The reveal of Ray threatening this guy so calmly is one of the eeriest scenes the show has ever produced. And I absolutely stand by that. I was thinking about it. I was like, I can't think of another moment in the show that, like, made my skin crawl the way, like, even Elliot kissing his sister doesn't make my skin crawl that way. It's well, just, I mean, like, oh, so
good. You even doubt that he's the one that ordered somebody to beat the guy up in the first place, which I mean he obviously was, but
right, he gets out in the car and then it's just like, oh, you are the guy that, but you get to walk in there and play good cop, get to do the whole, like, I don't want to do this. Like, this doesn't have to go down that way. But then he does justify it to his buddy or to his his guy. He's like, you beating the hell out of a dude isn't going to make him know what he doesn't know. You know? So,
yeah, Ray is definitely my favorite thing about season two.
Yeah, I mean, he's so freaking good, man.
But I love that dude anyways.
But yeah, I said Ray is an extremely difficult character to hate. And then Elliot's freak out at the therapy session or whatever it is.
Amen. Which one? The one where he's all righteous or the one where he did I say that out loud?
Yeah, that one. Where he compares God to a drug dealer. Like, that tirade is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's the other things in the episode I kind of tweeted about, like, is there a show that does establishing shots better than Mr. Robot? I mean, just the way they, I don't know. It's hard to explain because I'm not a cinematographer, but I mean, it's just so freaking perfect. Price calling himself the master of the universe. Oh my God.
I love the phone cord shot where it's almost, you don't even know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Until you finally get back far enough that you realize it's Elliot with the phone cord. Yep. That was a great shot.
And the one other thing I wanted to talk about is, and I want to go rewatch the episode. I probably will tonight. So when Elliot's coming off the Adderall, or when things start going, like, first everything's perfect, and which I guess that's the whole thing about drugs. I don't know. I don't never really been into drugs, but
Adderall's like speed to people that don't need Adderall.
Right. So, well, the first few days or whatever, it's like, this is amazing. Why don't I do this all the time? And then after 5 days, he's like, I don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah. All of speed is basically like that. I've only done coke and Adderall, but yeah, I've been there before in the, like, 3 days later where I'm like, I don't even want to live anymore. But
which is where he gets to.
Yeah. it can be like that with any drug, though. It just depends, you know, quality, not quantity.
So he sees Leon. He's like, yeah, Leon's talking backwards. And so I paused it.
I wanted to pause it, too, but I was like, I don't even want to try.
So he's talking about the episode of Seinfeld called The Betrayal, which is the backwards episode of Seinfeld.
You'd have to remind me what happens.
The whole episode is the scenes are played in reverse. Like, you always get the punchline, and then you get the setup. And then punchline, setup, punch, and it just keeps moving backwards. And the last scene of the episode is Jerry moving into the apartment, and Kramer opening the door, and they have a brief conversation. And Jerry's like, yeah, sure, you know, you're welcome over here anytime. Which leads to the, like, Kramer's always just barging into his apartment.
Yeah, now I know which one you're talking about.
It's so freaking good. And, it blew my mind that, in hindsight, of course, he's talking backwards about the backwards episode of Seinfeld. But I was like, in the moment, I was like, that is just genius. That's pure genius. You know, it's like the bat pod popping out of the Batmobile in The Dark Knight. Like, when it happened and you see it, you're like, oh, yeah. But, like, in the first split second when it happened, it's just like, oh, my God, that's incredible. I can't wait to go watch that episode of Seinfeld. And maybe it has some hidden clues to Mr. Robot. Who the hell knows? But still, I loved the fact that that's what he was talking about.
I love when they're talking earlier and he's all geeked up. And
that's George.
Joey Badass is like, I don't like this, bro.
Yeah, it's Rami Malek is so freaking good. I hope the whole cast gets Emmys for the last season.
Yeah, he's really good in Bohemian Rhapsody. Unfortunately, he's like the only really good thing in Bohemian Rhapsody. But
well, that sucks.
If you took Almost Famous and dumbed it down, like, you would get like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Man, that's disappointing. The Bryan Singer thing, like, I knew all of that stuff for the most part, but like, really reading about it has just soured me on watching anything that he directed.
I know, I was trying to watch Usual Suspects, and I was like, I don't even know if I can watch this.
I mean, X-Men 2 was my favorite comic book movie.
I will always be able to watch that movie. I don't care who's in it or who directed it.
And I just thinking about it now, I'm just like, I don't know if I can ever rewatch it, man. Maybe. So
there's probably movies you love and cherish that people have done that have done extremely bad things, only you will never find out about it.
Yeah.
I mean old movies, not like newer movies. Today you can't hide crap, but
I don't know, man.
It's like baseball. I get mad about when they talk about the steroids and stuff. I'm like, yeah, y'all weren't drug testing them back in the 30s and 40s. Who knows what they were taking?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, we had, do you have anything else to add? Not that I want to cut you off.
No, I'm good, because I'm probably going to eat here in about 20 minutes. So,
we have
our other partners in crime. One of them is ready to go.
a full 20 minutes early. We're recording another show tonight. So, so we had some Legion news, if you don't know.
It's not the casting thing. I saw a casting thing like 2 months ago. Well, it was like a month ago.
Yeah, but do you know who they're casting?
I thought I talked about this already. Is this relatively new? Because I might be talking about a different casting.
I mean, I don't think we've discussed it. what character that they're casting. Or they have cast. Harry Lloyd.
Oh, that's not who I'm talking about.
Oh, Stephanie Cornelius.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is, I mean, that's kind of interesting that she's going to show up in Legion as David's mom. So, I mean, and for those who are unaware, she is in Mr. Robot. So, but they've cast Harry Lloyd as Charles Xavier.
Oh, that's cool.
So we're getting a professor.
I did know we were getting Professor X, but I didn't see that they had cast it already.
He's one of the Targaryens from Game of Thrones. You probably recognize him.
Because they're my favorite in Game of Thrones.
So there's a character played by Lauren Tsai, I guess is how you say her name, named Switch.
I saw that too.
Don't read too much about her because it's kind
because it's not the same character, right?
Well, it may or may not be.
Well, maybe same character, but not per the comic book. Like,
yeah, but her powers might be. It could right. be a spoiler, so maybe don't read a bunch of news on that. Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this last season of Mr. Robot, of course, of Legion. I mean, Preacher, we're assuming it's going to be the last season. I've read the comics. Unless they just start pulling storylines, you know, and embellishing smaller stuff from the books, I don't see how it's going to go for more than one more season. Maybe two more seasons, but it's going to be tough. So, I'm stoked, man. Legion, it's going to be fun.
I'm stoked for Legion too. It's great that Sam Esmail and I'm thinking Noah Hawley has to be going out on his own terms as far as his show is concerned.
See, I was reading some articles, and a lot of people are like, oh, Legion's getting canceled by FX. And I'm like, I don't think so. Not that it wouldn't be canceled, but I think they finished season two, writing-wise, and were like, okay, we've got one more. We know where we want this story to end. So, like, are we going to be able to do one more season? I don't think there, unless like a money truck was backed up to them and it was a super popular show and FX was just like, no, you have to keep doing this. I don't see where they were ever going to go past. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen season two, but past what happens at the end of season two.
Yeah. I don't see how much further they can go.
Because it becomes a show where most of the characters you don't like, and not in a he's the bad guy kind of way. Very much in a like, I don't like any of these characters kind of way. You know, like even the ones that you feel sorry for, it's just they still did things that made them not likable. Right. So. And there's a specific turn that, honestly, man, there's almost no coming back from, you know? Like, he does that in the books, and then, of course, the comics have to continue. So, eventually, he comes back, but he does that in the books, and when he tries to... I'm kind of spoiling, but when he tries to come back, and this may or may not happen in the show, so I don't know if it's a spoiler, but in the books he erases himself from existence. Like that's what he does. He's like, it's Donnie Darko. The only way to solve this problem is for me not to exist.
Right. If you were worried about spoiling it for me, I already knew that because I think we've had this conversation.
Yeah, we have. I wasn't worried about you so much as, and like I said, that's a spoiler for the comics, probably not necessarily for the show. So, but maybe for the show.
I mean, I don't see in, maybe not him erasing himself from existence or ever have existed. Maybe just him dying. He's definitely going to die in some sort of way. But if the show lasts beyond that, it's, you've got this good guy to bad guy, back to good guy scenario that just never works out well, which is why Brett Dalton had to leave. I mean, they just had to be done with that dude. Like, we tried to save the character. We messed it up. We got to get rid of you, dude.
Right. Once you make that turn, the only path to redemption is for the character to die. That's it. Like, sacrifice is the only way to redeem that thing. And it, continuing past that leads to just this watered down nonsense. Like,
we got in like season three, was it season four of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Where he came back as the symbiote looking thing.
Yep.
Like, it was very watered down and very much garbage.
It was them trying to find a way to keep him on the show. So, I will say the only show I've seen somewhat make that work is The Flash. But they make it work by always introducing an alternate universe version of that character.
Yeah, they have 52 universes to choose from. I mean,
right. So, you know, you'll always have a different Harrison Wells because you're just reintroducing a different alternate universe version of the character. If they continued with the actual Harrison Wells and like changing him, it wouldn't work. You would be so tired of that character and the actor that you'd be like, enough.
Kind of like the Lost in Space thing, right? Like, yeah. Like scientist guy on Lost in Space.
Yeah.
You're like, no matter what, he's always up to some dirty tricks. Why do y'all always trust him?
Yeah. So, anyway, go follow us on Twitter at Mr. Robot Podcast. Email us, MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. Go check out xwingfiles.com for all the other shows we do, including our new show, Ryan and Logan Make Spencer Watch Movies. It's all there in the title. Go rate and review us on iTunes, and we'll be back in a few days. Oh, if you're looking for episodes before episode 100, you can find them over on our Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com/automaticforthepeople, I believe, or just search Automatic for the People at patreon.com. I have them up there right now. Not all of them, but the ones that are available. And you have to be a supporter to listen to them. I'm debating on just putting them up as free content with the option to support. Just because, like, I don't want anybody to feel like they have to. So, you know, and there's some good stuff there. Well, I'm going to add other shows that we've done that aren't Automatic for the People that
right.
would be exclusive to anybody who does support us for $1 a month. So, that's what I'm thinking about doing. That way we have our archives access to those shows. So if you want to actually financially support us, you can patreon.com/automaticforthepeople or just patreon.com/xwingfiles, where basically you're supporting our whole network of shows, which
just email us and tell Logan he needs to start his comic book podcast back up again.
Maybe we'll see. So yeah, we'll see you guys in a few days.
Bye, everybody.
Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.